This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do not worry. If you think that the New York Giants are the only circus in town, the Jets are back. We have an update from Jeff Ulbrich concerning if Aaron Rodgers is going to start on Sunday, and an update on how the Jets will go about their search for new general manager and head coach. So after the Giants got their butts whipped by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Malik Nabers, who will tell you what is on his mind after the games, said a few things. And we get the response of Tiki and the response of all of you. First off, it ain't the quarterback's fault.
It ain't the quarterback. Same outcome when we had DJ at quarterback. I mean, take a look. It ain't the quarterback.
So what do you think?
What is it?
I don't know what it is.
Is it the play?
Everybody know better than me.
Is it the play call?
We'll take three more.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I know I'm tired of losing.
I'll tell you what I want to know. What kind of gum is he chewing? that's what I'm very curious about. He goes on in terms of being asked about not getting the ball in the first half, something Sean alluded to a few minutes ago.
Go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball, start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do nothing. Start getting the ball when it's 30-0. That's what you do.
Why in the first half are they not looking at you?
I don't know. Talk to Davis about that. How
did you say something to the coaches at halftime?
I mean, they know. They come up to me, ask me what plays I want. That was that. I mean, I don't know.
Before you respond, TK, I must say personally, I think the chewing of the gum adds an even more swagger to this whole thing.
Amazing.
Like, I think it adds to Malik's aura even more that he is chewing on that piece of gum like it is the greatest flavor in the world. With that said,
right.
This is a rookie.
I don't know. His words were trident true, you know?
Very nice. What do you think of what he had to say?
I think he's frustrated. I think he wants to be great. I think he wants to be the best wide receiver in the National Football League. I think he wants opportunities to prove that he's that guy. And when you don't get any targets, I mean, I try to think, when I was listening to this last night, I was trying to think of what would I have said if in 2004, Jim Fossil had given me no carries in the first half of a game, and we lost. Like, what would I have said?
Well, first of all, should I fact check you? I think Tom Coughlin was your coach in 2004.
Well, 2003.
I'm sorry. I had to do it. Go ahead.
Well, I was trying to think of the offense because it wouldn't have been Coughlin in 0. So it was Jim Fossil. Right. Jim Fossil was the head coach, kind of calling the plays or in charge of it. So let's say 2002.
Mm-hmm.
In 2002, Jim Fossil gives me zero carries in the first half of a game,
right,
and we get beat 30-7. I mean, I'd be pissed.
But you wouldn't have been a rookie.
I,
isn't there a difference? Am I crazy?
Yes and no, but if I was a rookie, I started my rookie season, and let's say in week 3 of 1997, I get zero carries,
mm-hmm,
and I'm off to a good start. I get zero carries in the first half of a 30-7 beating. I'd be pissed, probably more pissed than I would have been if I was in 2002.
Right.
Just because I would have understood.
So you would have been pissed, but how would you have expressed it?
I mean, you know
that
me.
That way?
You know me.
That's true. You would
probably
have said
exactly like that. So I've been there. I've done this before. So it's just frustration. And honestly, it's a one-day story as long as it doesn't happen again.
Well, it's a one-day story in terms of the game, but he is very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
He has very strong opinions. Yep. And while he has an immense amount of talent, and I'd want him on my team, he hasn't really done anything yet.
Who?
Like, Malik Nabers.
What are you talking
about?
He's
halfway through his rookie season.
He's got 67 receptions.
You
which is
know,
the mo-
Matisse, you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
He hasn't done anything. He's halfway through his rookie season.
But you need to say this differently.
Okay, how do you want me to phrase it?
Because he's having a fantastic rookie season.
Of course,
on a horrendous team.
Okay.
Can you tell me a rookie that's I think is he tied with Puka? Or maybe he's either tied or right up there with Puka from Puka's season last year.
Mm-hmm.
Puka Nacua for the Los Angeles Rams, who had one of the great rookie seasons of all time for a wide receiver in a number of catches. He's right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having a fantastic rookie season in spite of the ineptitude of this team.
Okay.
He ain't playing with Matt Stafford.
Exactly.
I guess the phrasing would be, he is still a rookie who hasn't completed his full season.
Yes.
And he is openly complaining about his head coach, who, by the way, won Coach of the Year 2 years ago.
Hold on, Evan.
What?
Openly complaining.
I mean, that wasn't an open complaint on Brian Daboll.
It's not like he walked in a locker room and said, Paul Schwartz, Ryan Dunley, everybody come to my locker, this to say. He is the best player on a terrible offense with zero team captains left.
Yeah.
The media is going to him, understandably so, and he didn't get the ball
right in
the first half. He is also coming off a week that he just had to deal with in a rookie, in which the head coach specifically, and we knew this based on comments last week, told him, you better be ready, the ball comes at you fast, and we interpreted all those comments last week. And then he walks away not getting the ball at all. He's frustrated with zero person to tap him on the shoulder and say, don't act like
why
that.
Why did he get no, why were no balls thrown at him in the first half? Do you know the answer? Because I know the freaking answer.
Mm.
Do you want to go through it?
Four and out.
Dude,
so
they ran basically no plays. When they did run plays, they ran the ball with Tyrone Tracy. And oh, by the way, when they ran pass plays for Tommy DeVito to drop back, he got sent to Mars.
Dude.
He got assaulted.
I get that.
When was he getting the ball to Malik Nabers in the first half?
Okay.
Walk me through it, Malik.
Okay.
And Malik's agent, Sean Morales.
All right, here's Malik's agent.
I'd love to know.
You're allowed to not be predictable on first downs and throw him a quick little screen pass.
Hold on a second.
You're allowed to, on a fourth down, not hand the ball to Rondell Robinson and get Malik Nabers in his hands.
Sean, on the first play on offense, they handed the ball off to Tyrone Tracy. Do you remember what it did?
They ran for a first down.
They ran for 16 yards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's one of your best offensive weapons right now.
So that was their only first down they had?
And again, in the first half, every time Tommy DeVito dropped back, and don't take this as a defensive DeVito, he certainly wasn't given much help.
Yep.
But
bad
whatever. Where was he getting him the ball?
Dude. Somehow they managed to figure out how to get him the ball in the second half. All I'm saying is quick game. It's not like Nabers is drop back like Hyatt and he's got to run down the field. There are design ways, and I would hope that the coach...
They ran 8 plays in the first half.
All right. Did they run a play in the first half where they handed the ball to Wanda Robinson or not?
Yes. Yeah, I hated that play call.
Okay. They could also run that same play and put the ball in Malik Nabers'
hands. But again, when we talk about...
You have to be more conscious about this.
I get that. When we talk about Malik Nabers not being targeted in the first half, I think perspective is really, really important. They ran 8 plays.
Yeah.
Like, literally, okay. We need to say that so it's not as if, they ran 30 plays and they never targeted him.
What I'm telling you is I know things aren't perfect. I've been a long defender of this play calling and all of this. Also, it's a chicken and egg thing. They ran 8 plays. There's a chance if Malik Nabers is involved in 2 of those 8 plays, they're running more than 8 plays. Hmm. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Can I be an IFO here?
You're not an IFO.
But try to.
Okay. This is just me from an IFO. This is not Tommy DeVito's biggest fan.
Yeah.
The Bucs called off the dogs in the second half. That's why Nabers was getting the ball.
Well, they sat back and played zone.
Yeah, they didn't blitz.
So if they blitzed in the second half, Malik would have had a donut.
Guess what? If they didn't blitz in the
second half. IFO Tommy Lugauer here.
Yeah, can I IFO that and put it up a notch? If they didn't call off the dogs in the second half, Tommy DeVito would have ended up with 9 passing yards. Right,
now I'm back to being Tommy DeVito supporter. Can the offensive line block and give Tommy time to cook? And can we call up better plays to get Nabers the ball?
I mean, that was the Daniel Jones problem for the last 3.5 years.
This is why I'm not doing this. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Know that yesterday Jermaine Illuminor got hurt and that set back everything. But I am not going to live in a freaking time machine where I'm going to go back to everything I said about Daniel Jones and the offensive line and do this now for Tommy DeVito. Either you figure it out as a quarterback or not. I am tired of the offensive line being an excuse.
Tired. So overall, and we'll get to Tommy DeVito in a little bit. Overall, you do not have any issue with what Malik said after the game.
I mean, I don't, but I also see that there wasn't the opportunity for him to get the ball. It just wasn't. Yeah. They didn't run in the plays. I just went through all whatever it was.
The 8 first half plays that I was talking about?
Let's see, 4, 8, 9, 10, 11. They're actually like 15.
Oh, there were 15 plays?
Wow. But a lot of them were runs. And in the dropback, he was getting sacked.
Right.
There was one, I went through those all. There was one play where he could have gotten Malik Nabers a ball. As a crosser, it was like 2nd and 16 or something. And he ended up throwing the check down to the running back. That was the only play.
Right.
Out of the 15 that they run, 16 that they ran in the first half. Where Malik Nabers made any sense trying to get him the football.
It's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but I'm going to give you enough IFO perspective. It feels like if Odell Beckham Jr. said any of this, he would have been run out of town in his rookie year. And with Malik Nabers, and maybe up a lot of it is that Eli isn't here. Like, with Odell, you kind of looked around, and they were a more established roster. They had Tom Coughlin. Mm-hmm. They had other guys. But in the case of Malik Nabers, it does feel like the things he's getting away with, we would have said something very differently about if it was Odell Beckham.
See, but at least he's being honest.
No,
where
he is
the
being
head
honest.
Coach and general manager give you like coach speak.
Yeah.
They're going to Malik, they're asking him honest questions, and he's saying, I don't know, they didn't get me the ball in the first half. He's being honest.
But Odell Beckham Jr. was being honest. It didn't matter.
Oh, I agree.
I'm just saying my vibe on this, and I gave you why I think there's some differences. Eli was there, Coughlin was there, he's probably held to a higher standard. It feels like Malik Nabers is getting away with a lot more than anything Odell Beckham Jr. said.
I'm going to give you a big difference on why Malik Nabers is different than Odell Beckham
Jr. Go ahead.
Odell Beckham Jr., when the team was losing,
That didn't stop Odell from being Odell, whether it was peeing on the fire hydrant, the fake fire hydrant, doing all that other stuff. He had moments when they were losing, the theatrical first down point. Yesterday, down 30-0, Malik Nabers caught a first down ball, went to point for a first down, stopped himself because he was mature enough as a rookie to go, we're getting our ass kicked. It's not time for me to make it about me point for a first down. And that little moment might have meant nothing. Odell handles that completely differently, and I liked Odell.
So that means you like Malik.
I love Malik.
Oh, well, can't you tell? He was just his agent before I was criticizing him.
I love Malik. And by the way, this is exactly what we saw in Hard Knocks, and this is exactly what Brian Daboll himself is on camera saying. He wants his best players to want the ball and to be frustrated, and Malik Nabers, before drafting them, told these guys, I hate losing more than winning. This is it.
Also, when OBJ came in, there was a higher standard for the way Giants operated, how players on the team operated. Yeah. The bar is so low now that the fan base just wants a guy like Malik Nabers to go out there and ball, so you're going to let things slide a little more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Coughlin thing.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Right, it's what the expectation is for the player. It's not as buttoned up and perfect as it used to be.
No, Odell came into an organization that had a Hall of Fame quarterback, or someday will be. Same with the head coach. This guy comes into a much more different situation. A quarterback that was going to be benched over an injury guarantee, and a head coach that, while he had a really good first year, we don't know what he is. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Wilson's in Roxbury. What's up, Wilson?
Hey, Teek. Hey, Evan. How are you? What's up, man? Teek. Listen, you know I love you. You know I love you. But if you come on today and actually tell Giants fans that have been watching this team for 45 years that this team hasn't quit on this head coach, that they don't respect them, and they want nothing to do with them, you're insulting everybody's intelligence. And I love you.
That's a little
strong. I love you. But you can't blame Daniel Jones, man. You know what Daniel Jones is looked up so high in the locker room? Because he was the toughest guy in that locker room and never threw this head coach, horrendous head coach, under the bus. He took all the blame. Everything was his fault. And, you know, they gave out 300 yards rushing. Hey, it's Daniel Jones' fault because everybody in the media said it. Okay, so now he's gone. And you know what? You know what a nightmare scenario is going to be for the Giants? He's going to sign probably with, I don't know, San Francisco. And he's somehow
Baltimore Ravens.
All right, well, then listen. He's going to be smiling every day because you know who was smiling yesterday smoking a cigar with a nice scotch was Wink Martindale in Michigan. Because this team is horrendous. It's horrendous, your coach. And I don't want to hear anymore that he won Coach of the Year 2 years ago. That credit card is over. It's over.
No, it's always on his resume, dude. So, I think you're minimizing what's important here. You're minimizing that this Giants team just went through a roster turmoil with your captain, your starting quarterback. This doesn't happen very often, right? It happened in Oakland or Las Vegas, right? And one other place.
Garoppolo as well.
And Garoppolo, yeah, but that wasn't an injury.
And Russell Wilson with the injury guarantee, too.
Okay, whatever. Russell Wilson.
There was only like 2 weeks left in the season, too, with Russ.
Right, but Russ had never established himself as anything in Denver. Like, I don't even want to hear that. Like, he was not, whatever you want to call that stint. It is whatever it was. So that it wasn't meaningful, is my point. Nobody cared. I don't think the Denver Broncos locker room was sweating or crying. Crocodile tears over Russell Wilson.
No, maybe the opposite.
Being benched. And so it's a different scenario. But the reality of this Giants team is that they play close games. It's really been the MO of Brian Daboll. It's what his calling card is. Even when they're not good enough, we're going to play you tight. We're going to make you earn beating us. And yesterday was not that. And so I look at it. You know, with all due respect, Wilson, it wasn't them quitting. They were distracted by nonsense. And so if they show up that way next week against the Saints, then you know what? I'll concede. This team has quit on coach.
That's the proof of this.
Exactly.
Because whether it was quitting or distracted, whatever you want to call it, that was unacceptable.
100%
it was. And that cannot happen again.
But it's also an anomaly.
Well, we're going to find out. We don't know that yet.
No.
In terms of the past, it's an anomaly, but we don't know about the future.
Dude, the future is unknowable. The past is inaccessible, but it's also readable. I know what's happened in the past.
Right.
I understand how this team has played. I've watched them and how they've played. What I saw yesterday was not how this team has played
for the
last
first time we saw that.
2 to 3 years.
I agree.
That is not what we... So to me, it is an anomaly. Is that not what the definition of an anomaly is?
It could
not
be.
Not what you repeatedly Look, see. You're, now, what we see going forward, that's going to determine the future of Brian Daboll and I think this regime. That is as simple and plain stated as I can be.
You're right that we don't know the future, but I can ask you to predict it. And I think there are a lot of Giant fans out there. Wilson's one of them. I'll ask these guys, too. You obviously are making it clear that's an anomaly. It won't happen on Thursday.
I'm not saying it won't happen on Thursday. I'm just saying relative to what I know, history that is knowable because we've seen it. We've experienced it. This is not how the Giants have played.
You're right.
So it is an anomaly.
You're right. I'm worried it's going to happen again. I'm worried that that anomaly as of right now is going to be the rest of the season. And if that's the case, they're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me you're at a, I don't know how to put a number on this, a 90% confidence, bro, it's an anomaly?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Sean?
I'm 50-50.
You're on the fence?
I'm on the fence.
What else is new?
No, I could see them getting blown out, and I could see the world thinking Dallas is going to romp the Giants, and on national TV, these players actually play with a little pride. But I can't say I'm fully confident in that after yesterday. How could I trust any of these players if they basically collapse with that much of a distraction with Daniel
Because
Jones?
Of what Tiki said.
I agree.
As of now, it's an anomaly.
As of now. They had a couple games, the Eagle game, Minnesota earlier in the year, they blew up. But the overall calling card of Brian Daboll is close enough but not good enough. And I would expect more of that. But they just came off a bye with that. And if the way they handled Daniel Jones was any indication that these players wilted like that, look, if they get punched in the mouth once or don't get off to a start and Dallas scores first, how do I trust that this team isn't going to wilt and give up on plays again? I can't.
Yeah. No, I get you.
I would argue scoring first on Thursday could be huge for the future of Brian Daboll.
Well, I mean, since they haven't held a lead since the Seattle game, which I called
the Mets were playing the Phillies the last time the Giants had a lead.
It was a month and a half before the election the last time the Giants had a lead. I would argue not only scoring first, I would argue if I win the coin toss, I'm getting the damn ball.
Yeah, you don't give the ball to Dallas.
I was thinking about that yesterday, too. Like, give me the damn ball. Give Tommy DeVito the football before having the risk that you're down 3-0 or 7-0. What is your confidence level?
Oh, very high. They won't quit. They won't quit. Tommy will rally the troops. I think he was done a disservice by the way they handled everything. Now he could be the QB1 in the room this week, and I think they realize what happened. They'll look in that locker room.
So you
room.
Believe in the coach? Look at you. I'm
no,
surprised.
No. I didn't say the coach's
name.
Well,
that's what you just said.
No, I said Tommy DeVito will rally everybody. I never said Brian
DeVito. So Tommy DeVito's going to rally
Tommy DeVito
team?
Is going to, look, they did him a disservice, but he's a QB1. He has it. He's special. He's going to rally this team on Thanksgiving.
In fairness, if that happens and you're right, so you agree with Tiki, you got to give the coach a little bit of credit.
Hmm. No, the quarterback would show you that he's a primetime player on Thanksgiving with the world watching. Everybody's setting them up to fail. And plus, Dallas stinks, too. They're gutless. I don't care what they did yesterday. Look what they did the weeks leading into this. This is another team that basically you have to call into question where they were quitting in games. So I think the Giants put it on him on Thursday.
Oh, look at that. He's with you, Tiki. He believes in this head coach. I respect that. I didn't see that coming from him. Let's go to Andy in Edison, New Jersey. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, just a couple of things. I don't understand, you know, Coach Daboll was the coach of the year with a 9-7 record with games they barely won. Last year, they lost all those games. Mm-hmm. And this year, they're 2-9. So I don't see the attraction to him or Tommy Cutlets, who has 7 starts in the NFL. Some guys like Josh Allen started off like ghosts, like the gangbusters. But obviously Tommy hasn't. And then, you know, you got to give Daniel Jones some kudos because he had no offensive line, three offensive systems. You know, and then years ago I saw a video where Parcells was yelling at Sims saying, throw the damn ball. Don't worry about the interceptions.
Right.
You know, you got to take that all into consideration.
Andy, the one thing I disagree with is I don't like shortchanging a coach or giving excuses for a coach based on the score of the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I just heard our last caller kind of do one side of it, and I've heard the other side, where, well, they won a lot of close games. He's lucky.
Mm-hmm.
They won the games.
Right.
But vice versa. Like, they lost a lot of close games. Like, I criticized Joe Shane for. Yeah, but you lost the games. Like, of course, you'd rather lose a close game than lose 30-7, but I don't think it's fair to shortchange a coach for winning close games.
Yeah, I agree.
Nor is it an excuse that, well, they lost a lot of close games. Your record. That's the way I view it on him. And here's the ultimate problem that I think Brian Daboll has right now. And this is a very ugly stat that nobody wants to hear. But I did it. I'm sorry. I'm going to give it to you anyway.
In the last 33 games that Brian Daboll has coached, he's 11-22. Why did I pick 33 games? Did I pick 33 games to make a point? I did not. Did I pick 33 games to make Brian Daboll look bad? I swear to God, I did not. No, I did it because that's how many games Joe Judge coached as the Giant head coach. And I wanted to put it side by side. Brian Daboll's 11-22. Joe Judge was 10-23. And that's the problem. It's not a good record. Whether the games are close or not, like, that's not a good record. And ultimately, you got to win games. And that's the juxtaposition you are in, Sean, and some of you others listening right now. You want to lose so badly because you want a quarterback. I hear Big Mac say it all the time, and I understand what you're saying. But the problem is, how can you believe in a coach if you keep losing?
Right.
That's why you tankists are hypocrites.
No.
I'm sorry.
Tankologists. Hold
like,
on.
Like, you want two things, and it's very tough to balance it. It's what Tiki warned you last year. It's what I've been screaming about.
Evan, you're not wrong, and I always said this would be
you.
A tough...
Thank you. Just stop right
no,
there.
No, no, no. And I said this is always going to be tough to thread the needle. But what Tiki has said and what I've alluded to, there is no denying you are what your record says you are. The Giants do and play a lot of close games. What my perfect world was, hey, they're going to fight like hell, play for the coach. Ultimately, maybe they win one or two more, but they don't win enough, and they're picking in the top four in the draft, right? It's not supposed to look like that, though. If I didn't know any better, and I'm, by the way, I know the players aren't doing this. That looked like players who got the MO, hey, it's time to tank. And I know they wouldn't do that. Right. But that is what, when you're saying, hey, players look like they're tanking, that's the kind of stuff that you think they're in on. There is no excuse for some of the crap effort that the Giants saw yesterday. So, yeah, I do want them ultimately to lose. And maybe there isn't a world that exists where the coach can survive that. But it's not supposed to look like that.
No, it can't look like that. Look, we just discussed it cannot look like that again. And I'm hoping for the sake of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane that Tiki's right. That they mismanaged the Daniel Jones thing to where it served to be a huge distraction and it turned out to be a one-off. Because if it's a one-off, I think this administration can survive. I do.
Yes, I agree.
If it's not a one-off, they're dead.
Right.
And I'll tell you something else, and this is not based on any information other than me using my noodle. Okay, so I'm not pretending to have news here. There's a part of me that wonders if this does get worse in terms of them non-competing. Let's say that happens. I think Daboll may be gone and Joe Shane may not. Like, we all assume they're a package deal. I don't know if that's the case, because if the coach loses a locker room and the owner feels, I kind of like the direction, I like some of the talent that we have, I like this recent draft, this actually could be the thing no one expected, where the coach is gone and the GM is here. Does that not make a little bit of sense,
if
I'm right?
I mean, of course. I just find it, I think it would be really hard for Joe Shane to fire Brian Daboll. First of all, they have a relationship that goes back for a lot of years. They're friendly. Families are friendly. They came into this organization together as outsiders. This is rare for the New York Giants to have outsiders come into this organization, not as coaches necessarily, but as general managers. It's been a long time since there's been an outside general manager for the New York Giants, going back to my draft, prior to my draft, meaning the GM prior to my draft, which was obviously George Young, who was the first outsider to come in here. Everybody else has been internal since then. And so... I think it would be hard for Joe Shane to do that. So we'll see.
And if that scenario plays out, because I woke up this morning and you twisted my words a little bit before with Daboll.
I didn't twist any words.
My issue now with Daboll, would you relax over here, is I see what could potentially be coming down the pike if they fire Brian Daboll, and that would be the worst possible thing for this franchise. The absolute worst. Bill Belichick. So you can't. I'd rather have 10 years of Joe Judge than Bill Belichick. And I understand.
Wow.
I'm dead serious. And I think John Mara right now would allow him to coach until he breaks Don Shula's record. We'll have 7 wins every year. We won't embarrass ourselves. The locker room won't fall apart. But it'll be boring, bad, decent football.
He's so much better on television as a personality than he ever was as a coach.
Yeah,
I think the 25-year-old girlfriend's helping them.
right. Keeps you young at heart.
You know why I don't think Bill Belichick should be a threat for you guys? And I understand that that's a common thought of Bill coming back. And, you know, we've played a role in this. I played those clips last year, how much he loves the Giants, which he does. I think if Bill Belichick ever returns to coaching, I think he would do it on a very close team, like a team that's a coach away, a team with a loaded amount of talent. I don't think, as much as he adores the Giant franchise,
it's a process. It would be a process if he took over.
I don't think he would.
Yeah.
So does that make you feel better, Lugie?
No. I'm going to step in for Lugie here and answer this. He mentioned the Don Shula record's the one thing left Bill Belichick cares about. Bill Belichick didn't get a lot of nibbles this year, and the Falcons passed him over. if the Giants, and like Tiki said, you know, John Mara went outside his comfort zone to make this hire. If he went back inside his comfort zone because he felt this didn't happen, the Giants may be the only offer Bill Belichick gets. He's not going to keep getting more offers as he gets older.
That's where I disagree with you. I think that I'm wrong about this. I think he's rehabbed himself in such a way being on TV,
You mean his personality.
Personality-wise, and I think a good team will offer him the job. I think Jerry Jones will offer him the job. I do. Now, if you want to argue he'd rather take the Giant job than the Cowboy job, maybe. Maybe H. Dak Prescott. Maybe he and Tiki share a brain. I don't know. But my gut tells me he wouldn't want that job. So your fear of firing Daboll, because Lugie's been anti-Daboll forever.
And I still am anti-Brian Daboll.
No, you're not. You said earlier
I am anti-Shane and Daboll. I want them both gone. But my fear is Belichick needs 26 more wins. My fear is John Mara looks at the situation and goes, this organization is in disarray. We're a laughingstock. You bring Bill in, and we'll win 6 or 7, 8 games a year. We'll be respectable.
I got bad news.
And then they're not going to win a Super Bowl with Belichick.
I'm sure Tiki agrees with me on this.
Basically signing up for 4 years.
4 years, you win 7 games a year, you're not a laughing stock. We have Belichick, and let the Jets be the Jets. We could be the Giants again. That's just where my brain's going now.
The problem with your brain is that you can't be anti-Daboll and Shane and pro-DeVito.
Sure.
Because if DeVito's awesome, Brian Daboll deserves an immense amount
DeVito
of credit.
DeVito is awesome.
And then that's Brian Daboll's credit.
No, it's Tommy DeVito's credit.
No, it's Brian Daboll's.
No, it's Tommy DeVito's credit.
It would be Brian Daboll being the quarterback whisperer. Am I right, Teague?
Yeah.
Of course.
Nobody expected anything from Tommy.
Exactly. That'll be Brian Daboll's finest work.
Right, so just like nobody really expected anything from Josh Allen, even though he was a first-round pick, because nobody saw him play in Wyoming.
Exactly.
And the only thing they knew was his low completion percentage and propensity to make mistakes.
Right. This is Josh Allen on steroids. So you're not only marrying Tommy DeVito, you're marrying Brian Daboll.
Well, Tommy and I are already married. We got a little over the weekend. If Daboll wants to hang around in the guest room, that's fine, as long as Tommy gets the majority of the credit. No, Tommy DeVito.
That's not going to happen, man. They're going to be like married by the hip, basically. Sure. We'll get back to your Giant calls in a little bit. 888-808-1019. A very busy Monday here in New York City. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We'll have an update on the Jet GM and coach search and how they're going to go about that process coming up at around 4 o'clock. Plus, Tiki said something very dirty on the broadcast yesterday. I'm not sure how many people picked up on it. I'm not sure if Tiki even picked up on it or if he was dirty on purpose. I have no idea. But yesterday was crazy, especially the 1 o'clock window. The 4 o'clock window kind of sucked. There were some crazy, crazy endings. I mean, the Dallas-Washington game was nuts. How Terry McLaurin was allowed to run free for 75 yards or whatever the hell it was for 80, a touchdown.
Like 30 seconds ago.
That's right. Unbelievable. And then you've got Seibert missing the extra point. I thought Dan Quinn was going to go for two. Yeah, the craziness there. And yeah, the craziness in the Bear-Viking game in which the Bears actually recovered an onside kick, which never happens. But earlier in the game, Jordan Addison had a 69-yard reception that was being challenged. So it seemed very customary. We're challenging if Jordan Addison had stepped out of bounds. And Mike Pereira revealed something that I had no idea and has to be the single dumbest rule in the history of the National Football League. So they're analyzing if Jordan Addison stepped out of bounds. Mm-hmm. Listen to what Mike Pereira revealed to all of us.
This view seems definitive, but they can't use this view, Mike?
This is definitive that he's in bounds, but this is the boundary cam. And if a coach challenges, you cannot use the boundary cam. There's not boundary cams in every stadium, so there's a question of equity, whether some stadiums have it and some don't have it. So when a coach is challenged, you can't. On a regular review situation, like a scoring play, they can. But not a coach's challenge.
What?
Wow. What the hell does that even mean?
What it means is not every stadium has a boundary cam, which makes no sense. Every stadium should have a boundary cam, especially since it's giving you a great view on if a guy is in or out of bounds. And that if it's a coach's challenge, we can't use the boundary cam. But if it's an automatic review from a scoring play, we can use the boundary cam.
So the thing that bothers me about this cannot be a money issue.
It better not be.
There's no way.
It's the NFL.
That it's a money issue.
Right.
Because these teams make so much revenue. We all know how much the billions that they're all worth. To install or have on the ready a boundary cam in all 32 stadiums, why is that not happening?
Makes no sense.
Now, if it's a broadcast crew thing, that's a different story. Because the broadcast, what game was this?
This was the Chicago-Minnesota game.
So what
on Fox.
It was on Fox.
Yep.
So the Fox, like CBS, has multiple crews. So they'll have five, sometimes six crews, depending on the number of the games they have. So if you're going to say this is a crew thing, like you can only do it for the top three crews, then that's one thing. But it still seems like, why the hell don't you have this for every game?
No, they're saying that certain stadiums just don't
There's
have it.
There's no way that's a stadium thing.
Well, that's what he claimed.
Because every stadium should have that.
Right, right. Every stadium should have the same set of eyes to fix bad calls.
Yes.
And to not allow a view that's going to definitively tell you if the call is right or wrong.
It sounds
and
like
not
a cool
allow
view,
it.
Too.
Yeah. It's asinine to me. And for a $1 billion industry... You know, you mentioned it at the top. It can't be a money issue.
Billion.
Well, it better not be a money issue.
$20 billion
right.
industry.
This is a $20 billion industry. So I wonder if Mike Pereira mistakenly revealed this because this makes the league look really, really
cheap. It makes
bad.
It look cheap.
Makes them look cheap.
And they're not cheap.
It also makes it look unfair.
But they're not cheap. So
of course
I know this
not.
Is not. This is like, what is this? That's why I ask, like, what does this even mean?
It's got to be money.
But it can't be.
Here's why it
can't
be.
There's no way money is an issue.
Can I push back on the money thing?
Go ahead.
How come every stadium doesn't have grass? Isn't that a money thing?
Well, no, because
it's expensive taking care of it.
No, because most of these non-grass stadiums are domes. And how do you grow grass without photosynthesis?
I don't know. There's a way.
Is there?
I mean, open the dome, fake sun, I mean, I don't know, green room. But what about the outdoor stadiums like MetLife Stadium?
Prohibitively expensive to put.
There you go. See? That's my point.
To put.
Prohibitively expensive.
To put, I'm trying to think of what the word, like the halogen lights or what the, whatever they use to grow pot underground, right? Put those lights all over the ceiling.
Tommy knows; he's an expert on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. That's why you can't. That's why you can't have grass indoor.
But you just said it; it's expense.
Well,
that's my point.
Or it's just a waste.
Is it a waste?
Because the other thing, I mean, most of these teams that have turf, the Giants could have grass if they wanted to, because the stadium's outside.
Right. And what's the excuse for the Jets and Giants?
They have too many concerts. They don't own their own stadium, and so. It's the, what is it? The New Jersey
Exposition Authority or something,
whatever it is. They book a lot of concerts.
Right.
And so if you put all that concerts and everything else that was on there on the grass, it's going to destroy the grass.
Right. And that costs a lot of money. And then you got to replace it. Money, 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 money.
No.
It's all about money. All I know is the league better fix this. You can't have certain stadiums having a boundary cam and other stadiums don't. You're the NFL. There's only 17 games per year. We need to make sure we get every single call right. Now, they ended up getting this call right because it was Jordan Addison staying in bounds, which he did. So it was a 67-yard catch, and the Vikings kicked the field goal. So they ended up getting it right. But the idea that they can't use a certain camera because every stadium doesn't have it is absolute lunacy.
To me, that's not the problem.
What's the problem?
You never want to go to a restaurant and go back in the kitchen. Just don't show the TV audience that stupid camera. Don't even let us know it exists.
So keep us dumb.
That's it.
Yeah.
Keep us dumb and nobody's the wiser. That's it. Don't show that camera.
Well,
period.
That's why I'm saying Pereira made a mistake. Pereira even admitting it while it's interesting and we're talking about it.
Fox made the mistake. Don't even show that camera angle.
Oh, could
eliminate
that force Pereira to say we can't use that camera angle?
Don't even tip us off to the secret.
Keep us dumb. That's what John's saying. Just keep us stupid.
Yeah, but then if you have the angle, why not use it, though?
Because it's inequitable. It's not fair to the other stadiums.
If we know that's a rule, if that is a rule, then don't let the fans see it.
Insanely stupid rule. Let's go to Mike in West Caldwell. What's up,
already.
Mike?
What are you practicing?
Yeah, we're practicing. We're practicing a radio show. What are you up to? He's distracted. Sorry about that. Let's go to John in Huntington. What's up, John?
How we doing, boys? Just want to go over what I think the big outlier that people have mentioned it, but with Shane and Dable, I think it's more Mara telling them that they had to have Daniel Jones, and the same thing happened with Eli towards the end of his tenure, is John Mara is very, very just like loves his players and wants to do the right thing all the time, and you know, Daniel didn't get enough chance, and he, you know, we ruined this kid. So when Shannon Dable came in, they were given the ultimatum, come in, and you're going to use this kid. After year one, they won a playoff game, and it's like, well, now what are we going to do? We can't get our own guy yet. So now it's end of line of Daniel, and is it really Shannon Dable's fault
Yes.
But John Mara has now.
Can I tell you why I disagree with
the quarterback?
Can I tell you why I disagree with you? I have my reasoning. I don't have any behind-the-scenes knowledge. I don't know John Mara. The reason I find this tale hard to believe is that he was on TV saying, boy, Saquon in Philly would kill me, and they still allowed him to walk.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a guy who voices his opinion, but then allows his football people to make decisions. It's almost like that's a cover
and what are the choices
for Daboll and Shane's decision.
What other choice did they have for Daniel at quarterback in 2022? Did they have one?
After 2022, but they didn't, but they could have released them and drafted a quarterback instead.
Here's the problem.
Yeah, but
do we really think, because we can relitigate getting rid of Daniel Jones prior to Joe Shane and Brian Daboll's first year, we could relitigate doing it after 2022, which we've already done. They were picking low in the draft and there were no quarterbacks there, so I'll save everybody the time. But that's not your initial point. Your initial point was John Mara pushed Daniel Jones on Shane and Daboll. That sounds like an excuse for Shane and Daboll. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Because I don't believe that was happening, considering he was on TV saying, I can't have Saquon in Philly. And then he ended up in Philly, which means he's allowing his guys to make decisions, good or bad.
I had to get the clarification from Sean. That draft, too, in 2022, that was a bad QB draft. That was Kenny Pickett.
That's what I'm saying.
And Will Levis.
So, Malik Willis.
I mean, not Malik Willis. Levis was in the next year, in 2023, which we already had a conversation about. There just weren't a lot of options.
But to me, that's not even the point. The point is, do you think the owner pushed the GM to keep Daniel Jones?
I don't.
I have no evidence of that.
No.
Do you guys believe it?
No, I don't. I think that Hard Knocks showed us that ultimately, while John Mara will step in and basically make sure you're making the right call, he's not telling you what to do.
Well, he gives his opinion.
Right, and he's allowed to do that.
And he should give his opinion.
Of course.
It's his business.
And here's the funny part about his opinion. His opinion is now being mocked everywhere because what he feared happened.
Yeah.
And we all have the audio clips of it. The worst part about Hard Knocks for him as the owner is that every time Saquon Barkley, well, he was sort of right, but every time Saquon Barkley does something, and I know it secretly annoys you, Sean, you don't like to admit it, Loogie's a little bit more honest. He doesn't like seeing Saquon Barkley have success.
Of course not.
Every single time the success happens, someone's reproducing John Mara saying, don't go to Philly. So
that's what's annoying, not Saquon's success. That part being repurposed and shown to him.
So then based on that, why do we think he was telling the GM to keep Daniel Jones? That's what I don't understand.
Which offseason was it that John Mara came out at the end of the year and said, we failed Daniel Jones? What year was that?
That was when they were hiring Shane.
That was a big deal. Like, that was the first time he said something about that. Like, we ruined this kid. So maybe John Mara felt like, we ruined him. Let's try to recreate him. Let's keep him.
Let him decline
in 2022.
Right. But they let him decline his option right away.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yes. That's exactly right.
It's not like Mara said you have to pick up the fifth-year option. They declined it immediately.
Honestly, Sean, that is the answer to the question or the assertion that caller just made. Because if John Mara had said, he's our guy and we're going to make sure you get him right, that's why we're hiring you, then they would have said pick up his fifth-year option.
Right.
They declined it immediately.
And I think here's the other thing.
First thing they did. It was the first order of business.
Yes.
Why would Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, who were hot candidates at that time, take a job in which the owner's telling them, you have to stick with this guy at quarterback? It didn't happen.
No.
They ended up making the decision, all right, let's give it a year. Let's see what happens. And then he had a really good year. And we all know what the future was.
Mm-hmm.
They made the decision then to give him a contract in which they were stuck with him for 2 years. I think that every time someone blames the Jones decision on ownership, they're excusing Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. So you look at it as, oh, I'm coming down on ownership, when the truth is you're making an excuse for a bad decision that the GM and the head coach made.
Yes.
It was a bad decision.
Not the original one to keep Daniel Jones, because they didn't have another decision.
Right. The one to re-sign him.
We had this conversation a week ago. So they should have franchised him. They should have just let him go into free agency.
Right.
And whatever happened, happened. Go find another quarterback.
Yeah.
Whoever it would have been. I don't know. We've done this before, but find someone else. And that way, the draft was bad because that was the Will Levis draft. Then you, after 2022, you just
have a bad season and draft again.
But here's what's so frustrating. We always talk about this bad decision the Giants made and how it got worse, worse, and worse, and worse, and worse. Like drafting Saquon Barkley 2 overall, they shouldn't have done it. Okay. You always can make a different decision after you've made the original one. So after you've re-signed Daniel Jones for the basically a 2-year contract, and the first year is a disaster, and you know going into the second year, a la this season, hey, we have this injury guarantee hanging over. You didn't have to bring him back. You could have cut your losses during the offseason and said, we're going to reset at the quarterback position, pay our medicine on the cap hit, and move the hell on. They're the ones that decided to run it back with him, and they're the ones that decided to give him 10 games or 9 games before they finally moved on. And oh, by the way, when they did move on, they created a distraction that basically led to the crap we saw yesterday. Let's go to Russell in West Islip. What's up, Russell?
Hello, guys. Love all 4 of you. So you. I have a question, mostly pointed at Evan. So if Shane and Dable both got released at the end of the season, Evan, if it had to be a package deal, would you take them to run the Jets?
That's a great question. I would consider it strongly, and I will give you the answer on why. The reason I'd consider it, the reason I'd consider it strongly is I think the Jets are such an unappealing job because of who that owner is and what that owner has done. Not stories some of you Giant fans create in your head about what you think the owner's doing, like reality. Like, really, the owner said, bench Aaron Rodgers. Like, really, the owner insisted I'm firing the head coach going into Monday Night Football. That's not fan fiction. That happened. So because my franchise is such a mess, I would have to consider it. I really would. And speaking of that organization, we now have details on how they're going to go about the hiring process. We'll go through it coming up. Plus, we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And don't forget, at 4:30, we promised it, we'll check in on our Tommy DeVito stat prediction. Someone was really close. Others were really, really wrong. Spoiler alert.